Spread your jams and drizzle your syrups.
Why is it so sticky?
It's Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast.
Yo, good morning to ya. Hope you are well. Matt and Alex with you. Alex Tyson, you good?
Yeah, going well. I mean, I had a little bit of a headache last night. I am not going to lie. Night two in the open plan living bed in the lounge room situation. And I got a bit dehydrated sleeping next to a fire. woke up.
No.
Bit of a headache. Look, it's not all smooth sailing if you are going to rearrange your life and live in your living area and work in your bedroom. But hey, that's the occupational hazard, my friend. I'm not giving up yet.
Dude, that reminds me of a friend of mine, Ray Badgerin, a comedian. He tells a story about trying to get rid of his hangover. He was horrendously hungover, still possibly drunk, at the uni games. And he tried to get his hangover off by going to the sauna. Going to the sauna.
You fool, Ray.
And he fell asleep in the sauna and he woke up with extreme dehydration. He had to go to hospital.
Oh, man. Well, I tell you, one of the worst hangovers I've ever had was an evening in which, yeah, we had a few wines in a sauna.
God.
By the next morning, it was, you could have blown me away like a dandelion, my friend. I was like the evil guy at the end of The Mummy, just absolutely
dear.
Dropping down into the Sahara. Anyway, thank you very much for joining us. This is a breakfast show, albeit an on-demand one. And we, can't wait to have a little chat with you.
Well, I mean, talking about us being, you know, hopeless, which is what we usually do. We're chatting to two guys today who really are doing some incredible work out in the community. They set up Australia's first mobile laundry van up in Brisbane, and they help people who are sleeping rough by providing showers and laundry services for them. They've done so great with what they do in Brisbane and around Australia. They've even been shouted out by ex-president Barack Obama in the US. So incredible work. So I can't wait to chat to Nick and Luke from Orange Sky Australia.
Yeah, certainly make us hopeful. So looking forward to that one. Up next, we're going to be looking into something that's just occurred, Matt O'Kine. If you're looking at going to the movies, of course, that is a difficult situation. But did you know that you can get the same experience at home? Someone has taken an interesting way at releasing a brand new film. So we're going to get into that. And at request of me, play some songs from a musical in a moment.
Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast. Hope you're having a good one.
This is just the start.
Everyone ready?
Let's get this show on the road.
Let's go.
Here we go.
Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast.
Now, Matt, there are some pros and cons with cinemas being shut at the moment. The cons, obviously, that we don't get to see the hot new films that are coming out. I mean, Christopher Nolan's Tenet, was very much looking forward to checking that out. What a director. The pros, obviously, that you don't have your chips stolen by Richard Wilkins. So I'm very glad that we can avoid
that. I thought you were
going
to say you don't have to drop $16 on popcorn and a drink.
Well, you say that you don't have to do that, but Disney has come up with a way for you to drop exorbitant amounts of money on things because, despite their streaming service being available to pay a monthly subscription fee, they're thinking of releasing their new film Mulan, their new remake, with an extra $30 cover charge on top.
Let's get down to business.
The Huns.
Whoa. Now, I used to work at a video store, Alex Tyson, and if I am to recall my days correctly, and this was in 2004, so I understand inflation, but a new release was $6.95. It's always been $6.95.
Tell you what, down at Henna Street Video, the Dyson residents never, and I can say this with authority, never hired a new release. I can tell you right now, you would not see a new release video coming through our doors. No, no. Five weeklies for $5 or nothing, okay? That was it. But you're right. Although it isn't a new thing to pay a little bit more for a new release, $30 on top of the, about a $10 a month subscription fee has raised a few eyebrows.
Yeah, I mean, look, it just goes to show, though, that people are, while they're stuck in these times, stuck indoors, they are willing to pay money to be entertained. And who am I to judge? Because, honestly, it's $30 US, right? $42 Australian. But I have a hobby, you know.
Oh, I've recently 42 have a Australian hobby. To watch Mulan. Oh, yes. I didn't realize it was still in US currency.
No. $30 US. But see, that's $42 Australian. And I have to admit, I have a hobby. My current passion, like I enjoy craft beers. Quite enjoy craft beers. All right? Like trying different types, trying new Australian brands, you know, sampling local delicacies. Went to a gourmet bottle shop recently. Just thought, oh, I'll try one of these. Popped them all in the basket. Just six little local beers, supporting out the man.
Just by label?
Just looking at labels, yeah, the styles, IPAs, pale ales. Anyway, six beers, got to the counter. $42. Now, my partner's probably listening, and well, I'm sorry if I've ruined the family vacation on my craft beer. There's no vacations anyway at the moment. But look, have you got a hobby that you've spent a bit of money on?
No, but the money stopped me from getting into a hobby because I remember going to my very first, I was visiting some friends in Canberra, and in Canberra they had a games workshop. And at Games Workshop, what they do is Warhammer miniatures. It's like a tabletop game, and you get these little miniatures. You can choose your orcs, or you can choose your elves, or you can choose your space fighters or whatever. And they go and get it. Do you know how much those things cost? When I saw an actual price tag, because I had this little magazine, I'm like, maybe I should get... It's like four figurines, $80. And the amazing thing is... You have to paint them yourself because that's part of the hobby. You don't even, so they look rubbish. So that's pretty incredible. But we did ask you, what's your hobby and how much is it costing you? We've got John. John, your hobby's Lego.
Yes, yep, Lego.
All right. Now, we've spoken to Hamish Blake on the show, host of Lego Masters. Talk about your Lego setup and how much does it actually cost?
So it's in the thousands at the moment. We've got the last one my partner and I have built was like a scale model of the Harry Potter castle, Hogwarts, and it was like 7,000 pieces, and it's got like stained glass windows and like the whole shebang.
Why didn't you just build a house, John? You and your partner could just build your own house.
Look, at this point, I could almost, not that much, but like... We did have to sacrifice space and buy two new suitcases while we're in the US because we accidentally stumbled upon the Lego store in the Flatiron District.
Mm.
We went back a second time and came back with the Batmobile and the Disney castle and had to buy suitcases.
To bring it all home.
So you fork it out for the things, you got the excess baggage fees. That's an expensive hobby as well. Goodness me. Thank you very much, John, for chatting to
John.
Us.
And next up, we got Alex on the phone from Melbourne. Hello, Alex. What's your hobby?
I have horses.
Oh, God.
There it is.
They might as well just eat money straight from your wallet, honestly.
Oh, my God. I can't even begin to start. My partner made me a spreadsheet, and, like, we're trying to save up for a deposit at the moment. And, yeah, it's a real bone of contention.
Oh, I bet.
How many horses are we talking here, Alex?
So I started off with one. Between me and my mum, we now have four, but two are mine and two are mum's.
Okay, and how much? Be honest here. How much are the horses costing you every year?
Around 15K, unless you want to include like petrol and tolls, because I work in the city, so I do the horses in the morning and then we drive into the city. If you're including that, it's around 26.
So wait, you're paying $10,000 in tolls a year.
But some of that's maybe not horse related.
Sure. Okay. Petrol and tolls.
But obviously a horse, you need land, so you need to be out of the city. And so you're coming in and out. So,
yeah, we keep them on adjustment kind of on the cusp of the Mornington Peninsula. So around 15K, that doesn't include like the cost to actually buy a horse.
Why aren't we including the cost to actually buy your hobby? Why are you excluding all these
costs?
That's
usually the final. That's usually the end cost. Yeah. Like, all
that's
right.
Just the maintenance cost. I bought my horses, though, for $1,500, and now they're probably worth, like, about 10 or 20. One of them's worth 10, one of them's worth 20K. So you could say it's an investment.
Yeah, well, I mean...
I went to a horse auction one time and they're getting sold for hundreds of thousands of dollars.
And
so there you go. So put some alloy wheels on there and suddenly you've made a profit.
I talked to a trainer as well, a good racehorse. You get, some of their stuff, some of their, some of their thingies, daily explosions, are worth like hundreds of thousands of dollars a cup. So
yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Anyway,
are you into that side of the business there, Alex?
I'm not, but although a lot of my friends have X-ray sources and things, and it's amazing because they'll be worth $100,000, and then 2 months later they're worth like $100, and then until you retrain them.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Alex. All the best to you and your horses. And finally, we've got Paul on the phone from Brizzy. G'day, Paul.
G'day. How you going?
Good, thanks, Paul.
Now, your hobby's got a little bit of horsepower itself. Can you tell us what it is and how much it costs you?
Maybe not horsepower, but just more accessories. So far it's racked up to about 20 grand.
What's this? What's this for?
I've got a four-wheel drive, so I like accessories and all the nice new shiny things.
What sort of stuff are we talking? What's your most useless but expensive accessory for your four-wheel drive?
I mean, the car itself, but nah.
Apparently we're not including the costs of the actual thing here, Paul. So
no, this is on top of the car. I don't know. I use all of it, to be honest. I'm not sure.
Go on. I'm sure you got some fluffy
dice. How many rivers
do
you drive through, Paul? How many do you actually go through rather than the old school pickup?
I could probably count them on one hand, maybe even one finger.
Yeah, just go. Good to go over speed bumps at the local shopping centre, though, isn't it, Paul?
Oh, it's really. I mean, how did you know?
What about floodlights? You good to blind other drivers with a few of them, but get your money's worth in that one, there, Paul.
They're actually on the way. I haven't put them in yet.
Oh, good, good.
The bill just keeps climbing.
Thank you very much for joining us and appreciate you having a chat.
Of course, of course.
If you've got a hobby that is, just. Basically is just a hobby of watching numbers go down on a credit card. We would love to hear about it. Please get in touch, matt.ad.alex on Instagram.
Coffee?
Yeah, coffee.
A seventh coffee never hurt anyone.
Well, I feel a buzz.
Now, Matt, some terrible news was coming out yesterday after an explosion rocked the port in Beirut in Lebanon. The footage, you saw it as well, is absolutely mind-boggling to the size of what's actually happened there.
Terrifying.
There have been some deaths. There have been thousands of people injured in a town that was going through its struggles over the last 9 to 12 months. We wanted to find out a little bit more about the city, and so we thought we would chat to someone who knows it very, very well. He's currently in Australia, but actually hosted the Virgin Radio morning show in Beirut for 6 years. His name is Anthony Salome, and he joins us right now. Hey, Anthony.
Gents, g'day. G'day. Loving the show. Loving the podcast.
Well, you'd know. I mean, look, I appreciate your compliment, Anthony, because, you were co-hosting the number one radio show in Lebanon for 6 years, but you're home now. What's home life looking like?
Home life is looking good. Listen, I was living on the Mediterranean coastline on a beach resort for 6 years. Like you said, number one host. Now back to my childhood bedroom with my parents in Southwest Sydney. So, I mean, it is what it is.
Oh, man, right. Well, it's pretty shocking pictures coming out of your former home there, Anthony. It is a beautiful part of the world. I've got friends who are, massive fans of the country, of the town, and to see such a, terrifying event happen, can you tell us, basically what you know of Lebanon and your time there and what something like this means to a town?
Yeah, it's real heartbreaking what happened or what's been happening. As you mentioned, before this even went down, for the last 9-10 months, Lebanon's in the worst economic crisis it's ever been in. I'm sure people have seen on the news, there's been protests and people trying to topple the corrupt government. To give you, I don't want to go too much into it, but to give you a brief breakdown, Lebanon has kind of been run by the same mafioso warlords for 40 years, So people are, there's constant power outage where people got to pay for a generator as well as their electricity. There's, you know, a shortage of water, 50% unemployment. On top of all that, you've got a population of about 4.5 million people. And since the war in Syria, you've got 1.5 million Syrian refugees in the country now. I mean, we're it holds more refugees than any other country in the world. And it's just this tiny little country on the Mediterranean coastline. So it was already in such turmoil and the people were struggling so much. This is the last thing that the country needed. It's just really, really heartbreaking.
Not to mention a pandemic on top of that.
Yeah,
you know, we're all struggling with COVID, mate, but to have this economic crisis before that and then to have an explosion which, you know, devastates not only lives lost but also the infrastructure of the town there, it seems so heartbreaking.
It really is, and it just makes you think how much more can this little country take, you know? It's just, it is really heartbreaking. And Australia, I know what most people know about Lebanese people is we've got pretty good food and we're bouncers at nightclubs or we're walking around with bum bags and rat's tails and you can probably buy a $300 bag from a Lebo guy, you know. But the truth is Lebanon, I mean, there's so much history and so much, like a lot of people don't know, Lebanon is a trilingual country. Everybody speaks English, Arabic and French. You know, Byblos, where I used to live, is the oldest inhabited city in the world, going back over 5,000 years. The first alphabet was created in Lebanon. Then Jesus performed his first miracle, water into wine. Oh, kind, I know you can appreciate that. Water into wine.
I've enjoyed that miracle many times over the last few years. So, I mean, what was it like when you were living there? I mean, you know, you would always, we'd chat quite a bit on the phone, you know, messaging and stuff, and you absolutely seem to love it over there. What are some of the highlights of living there?
Man, I'll tell you what, it was the best six years of my life. And I'm not even exaggerating one tiny bit. The people are just amazing. Like I said, Lebanon is not like any other country in the Middle East. I know people have a perception of the Middle East. It's very European. It's a metropolis built into the mountains on the Mediterranean coastline. Anywhere you look has an amazing view of the sunset. The people are very hospitable. It's some of the best food you'll ever eat in your life. Yeah, people drive like maniacs a little bit, but you know, that's part of the charm of the country. And you know, some of our mates, like, you know, Glenn Wall, Tony Woods, Nick Cody, I brought these guys over to do comedy showcases over there. These guys had some of the best times of their life.
Yeah, the shows looked incredible as well. People loving the, you know, the stand-up experiences and stuff, and partying. It looked like you always seem to be at the club, man.
Oh, you know, I got to keep up appearances. You know how it is. kind of like before you were a father.
Yeah,
a little bit of that. And is everyone, you know, have you heard from friends, family, Anthony, as people, you know, okay?
I'm still kind of shaken up because I woke up to all these messages and all these from people saying, is everyone, you know, okay? And I'm like, whoa, what the hell's going on? Mm. But thank God everyone that I know and all my family are all right. Some of them had some, you know, shattered windows. And we're talking, you know, 10 kilometers away from where the explosion happened. They had shattered windows and broken glasses in the kitchen. So it's a real devastating. I don't know if you guys know this. Cyprus felt the explosion and heard it to the point where they thought something had exploded in Cyprus. And Cyprus, just to give you in regards to how far it is, it's a 3-hour boat ride away from Lebanon.
It's a different country. They felt it in a different country across a sea. It's absolutely ridiculous, the size of this thing. I think it registered over 3 on the Richter scale.
Yeah.
It's absolutely horrifying. And, yeah, absolutely sending our best to there. And if you want to help, I mean, it's a pretty dire situation, as you said, Anthony, even previous to that. I mean, since October, the Lebanese pound has lost over 86% of its value.
Yeah.
And so, like, a thing of butter, which was 4,000 Lebanese pounds, I think is 16,000 pounds now. So it's a pretty dire situation. The Lebanese Red Cross, if you want to help out, that's something you can do as well to help this incredible city and country get back on its feet after this particular setback on top of a few others. So, Anthony, thanks for painting a picture of this place for us, sending our best to you and the people you know in Lebanon, as well as any Lebanese listeners who are joining us right now. And, yeah, hopefully talk to you again at some stage.
Yeah, cheers, boys. I just want to applaud you guys for, you know, shining light on the matter and really pushing, you know, to help the Lebanese Red Cross and the Lebanese people. You know, bravo to you guys, and God bless you, man. It's a really good thing that you guys are doing.
Oh, thanks, man. Well, look, we really appreciate you joining us. We'll catch you soon.
See you, boys.
Order up. Just how you like it.
Perfect.
All day breakfast.
Now, Matt O'Kine, you and I have spent a fair bit of time sitting next to each other on a Virgin flight over the years. We've had a couple of bevs in the lounge together.
I've fallen asleep. We've both captured each other mouth agape in the chair, fallen asleep.
Yeah, so it is a little bit sad to see Virgin obviously go into administration. There's been a big process. They've been bought out by this big US multinational corporation to potentially start flying again, but they're dumping their cheap Tiger brand, which they had. Virgin Atlantic's also doing bankruptcy. I mean, it's going to be a tough road back for the troubled airline in this economic climate. But the good news is, Matt O'Kine, that despite 3,000 job cuts in Australia, Richard Branson, founder of Virgin, has announced that each one of his fired workers are going to be getting a personally signed photo from him of a plane that they once...
That they'll no longer be working on.
That they'll no longer be working on, but can now commemorate... I'm not sure if a frame comes with the photo or it's just literally like a postcard, but what a clanger from Richard. I tell you what, how would you feel? You're sacked, you're out, but the boss goes, wait. Here you are, Matt. Here's a signed photo of a plane.
Here's a signed poster of Monarch Cove. Yeah,
what a career ender.
Yeah, look, it's a bit rough, isn't it? I mean, I don't know what else, what he's supposed to give them, even the cash maybe that it costs to get the...
give them $10 would be better. A gift voucher, you know, surely that could have been a little bit better.
It's rattled a lot of people, hasn't it? It's definitely made people a little bit frustrated, them saying, well... One, not only did I lose my job, but now I have a constant reminder of the awful awful conditions under which I lost it.
Look, it is a pretty terrible gift, a parting gift, but is it the worst? Well, we're about to find out because it is time for the darkest days in gift history.
Ancient Troy. Independent city got gifted a large wooden horse by the Greeks in a situation that then unfolded and made them lose the war. Very commonly known as the Trojan horse. It was a terrible, terrible gift.
Sticking with the Greeks and Epimetheus, the Titan god of afterthought and excuses. He and his brother Prometheus were given the task of populating the earth.
There is a god for excuses?
And afterthoughts. Yes, his name is Epimetheus, and he's the brother of Prometheus. Now, Epimetheus was given the task of populating the earth with animals and men. Okay, however, Epimetheus quickly exhausted the supply of gifts given to them in the equipment of animals, leaving Prometheus's masterpiece, mankind, completely helpless. As a result, the brother was forced to steal fire from heaven to arm mankind. Zeus was angered by this theft and ordered the creation of Pandora, the first woman, and as a means to deliver evil into the house of man. Despite the warnings of his brother, Epimetheus happily received her as his bride. But as soon as she arrived, she lifted the lid of a jar entrusted to her by the gods, releasing a plague of harmful spirits to trouble mankind. Pandora's Box, Dark Day in Gift History.
Prince William recently disclosed on Peter Crouch's podcast about the early days of his relationship with Kate Middleton, including one of the gifts that she's apparently never let him live down. He gave her the box. She opened it. It was a pair of binoculars. She said, "Why have you given me binoculars?" He said, "I don't know. They look really amazing. Look how far you can see." She said, "They're binoculars." Why would you get some... I'm sorry, but you can't own a pair of binoculars or a telescope and not seem slightly creepy, okay?
Oi, that's just... Going on safari, I wish I'd taken binoculars. Thank you very much. So let's not get into that. All right, July 22, 2020, a full month after my 32nd birthday, Matthew Ejete O'Kine gives me the gift of a candle that smells like Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina. Not only this, because it was sold out, went on eBay, paid even more for it than what it's worth, which is nothing. Terrible gift and a dark day in gift history.
And finally, one of the darkest days in gift history. A salesman for a mattress company called Howard Langston, who's too busy at his job and constantly disappoints his son, Jamie, misses his son's karate exposition and tries to come up with a way to make it up for him. Jamie only wants a Turbo Man figurine for Christmas. Unfortunately, Howard starts shopping too late. It's Christmas Eve. Every store is sold out. Howard must travel all over town and compete with everybody else, including a mailman named Myron, to find a Turbo Man action figure to make it to the Wintertainment Parade. That is the plot of Jingle All the Way. A dark day. But a great movie, I have to tell you.
I tell you what, as far as cinema history goes, a very, very good day.
It was a very good day. Thank you, Arnold Schwarzenegger, for that absolute classic.
What a gem.
And those are just some of the dark days in gift-giving history.
You're in Matt and Alex, all day breakfast. Please keep in mind that the gift of this podcast is free.
All day breakfast with a cup of tea with a tea bag stuck in it. Mm-mm.
Now, Alex Dyson, when it comes to young people who are inspiring and doing incredible things for the greater good of mankind, our next two guests are prime examples of that. I first met them at the end of last year at a big conference where they gave an incredibly inspiring speech about a campaign that they had started about this charity, this business that they've started, and it's all about providing services for those who don't have access to them, Alex Dyson, and that is services of a mobile laundry and washing services for homeless people in and around what started in Brisbane but has since gone around Australia. Our two guests are here with us right now. It is Nick Marchese and Lucas Patchett from Orange Sky Australia. G'day, guys. How's it going?
Good, thanks.
Good, thanks for having us, fellas.
Thank you so much for jumping on a call with us. We've got the video up here, and Nick, you're sitting in front of Sudsy at the moment. Can you tell us what is behind you right now?
Yes, this is our first man, Sudsy. It's got two washers and two dryers in it, and Lucas and I, in October 2014, wanted to find a way to help people by simply washing and drying their clothes. So our mission statement was to improve hygiene standards. We knew nothing about washing, came home one day and said, "Hey, Mum, Lucas and I are going to start a free mobile laundry for people doing it tough." And she said, "Nick, how about you start washing your own clothes?" So we had a lot of haters from day one, including both our mums. But we convinced the company to give us some washing machines. We chucked them in the back of this van, Sudsy, and started washing and drying clothes alongside our old school food van that fed people doing it tough here in Brizzy.
So, Lucas, who approached who? Nick or Lucas? Did you start the idea? And what convinced the other person to go with it?
It was a bit of a crazy idea that Nick had talked about for a few years after we finished school. So at school, We actually volunteered on a food van that went out streets of Brisbane and fed people who were doing it tough. So, you know, I can remember at 15 or 16 being absolutely blown away that all these people, you know, just in our backyard were sleeping rough and doing it so, so tough. So, Nick had this drawing in one of his books and said, Lucas, let's get this thing happening. I just got back from overseas, didn't have a job, didn't have uni yet. I was sort of kicking around doing not too much. So I said, let's crack on and let's make it happen.
Now, how scientific was this drawing, Nick? Are we talking it was a beautiful rendering with accurate dimensions as to how these washing machines would fit in the back of a van, or is this total stick figure stuff that we're talking here?
Yeah, it was stick figure stuff, and it was interesting because Lucas and I went to school together, and I was the naughty kid up the back drawing, and Lucas was a smart kid up the front getting all the good marks. So I felt like my drawing could help, but in all reality, we had these the next step was to get these polystyrene models because we didn't want to, we couldn't lift the washing machines. So we stayed up all night and we cut these sheets of polystyrene and taped them together. But the problem was that the machines would sort of flex into place. So the modeling and the engineering really took a few variations, but it just took a couple late nights and a couple of good laughs to get everything into Sudsy and a few sort of bangs on the wheel arches and a few swear words maybe.
Well, I mean, I've heard that your very first endeavor out into the real world to provide a mobile laundry service to people who were doing it rough on the streets of Brisbane didn't exactly go to plan.
No, definitely not. And the van behind Nick Sudsy, we loaded it all up, we set off on the streets and found a fella who was ready to do his washing, young guy by the name of Jordan. Set everything up and actually both machines blew up. And we didn't know, like Nick said, didn't know too much about washing. So we begged this company to give us a couple more, said, oh, we'd make some changes, went out the next morning, the exact same thing happened again. And we were kind of had this moment of saying, well, you know, this is something that we think can really help people, but also it's currently not working. So made a few more changes, went back to the drawing board. And then the third morning, same time, same place, this guy, Jordan, did his washing. And you know, it was one of those moments of saying, wow, this is something that can really help people, but also I think it gave us that fuel to see, you know, come back for more each morning that Jordan was waiting for us and we were able to help him that morning.
Goodness me, Nick, what went wrong? What was exploding these washing machines?
Yeah, we're still not entirely sure. Definitely my pee plates on the van and my really bad driving definitely didn't help. So one thing we learned about washing machines is that they need shipping bolts. So we got lazy and we didn't put the shipping bolts in. So every bump we went over, the van was definitely rocking and the wires were cutting and breaking inside. So, you know, we had wrong generators. We had water just bursting out everywhere. We made a few changes and we put four clamps and two hockey straps, and that's our thing that we think fixed Sudsy. But Sudsy kept on breaking down. That's why it's in our foyer now. It's got no second gear, no working fuel gauges, no working locks. So Sudsy's pretty hurt.
But, I mean, considering going from Sudsy, your very first van, out on the streets of Brisbane, helping people who need it, that was in 2014. And it was only, I think it was earlier this year, I was on Twitter and I spotted a shout out for what you guys do, the services you provide around Australia from one of the most well-known people in the entire world. We heard this online.
My optimism today is born from the work of young entrepreneurs, scholars, and leaders who see the world as it is and have the courage to remake it as it should be. There are people like Nicholas Marchese, a 25-year-old from Brisbane, Australia, who pioneered the world's first free mobile laundry system for people experiencing homelessness.
That's right. That is former President Barack Obama giving you guys a shout out. And not only that, calling you a scholar there, Nick. You said you're at the back of class. Would you ever think a US president would refer to you as a scholar?
No, I think there's a few bit of fake news in that one. Definitely didn't start Orange Sky either. It was Lucas and I. So I was just taking all the credit. I'm a scholar. I started it.
That is honestly, that you must have been buzzing when that happened. Lucas, I want to know what it was like hearing from Obama.
Yeah, it was a really cool moment. I can remember watching the video on my phone, and then it was almost surreal, one, seeing and hearing the president talk about Nick, but then also having some Orange Sky footage show up and, you know, seeing some of our friends in Australia who are doing it tough and being promoted on such a a massive scale was pretty cool. And yeah, it's always a good laugh hearing Nick called a scholar. So
and you guys have done so well over the last few years, and you keep going from strength to strength. The Vans run in various locations right around Australia now. And you've got something coming up in September and October that you you want to share with Australia.
Yeah, absolutely. So Orange or Sudsy's now got 32 brothers and sisters all around Australia, and two friends over in Auckland and Wellington. And Orange Sky isn't run by Nick and Lucas. It's run by over 2,000 incredible volunteers that every day put their lives on hold to go out and you know, put the washing on, provide showers, but most importantly, sit down while the washing's on and have a chat. So our mission at Orange Sky is to positively connect communities, and we're not out there to solve homelessness. We're out there to connect people and remind people, whether you be a volunteer or a donor or a friend using our service, that we're all made of the same stuff. And you know, sitting down, having a chat and connecting is really important. And I think now the whole world is struggling with hygiene and human connection. So Orange Sky is not alone with that struggle. And we've got a really cool initiative called the Sudsy Challenge. So you heard about Sudsy, and you heard that it took us 3 days to get Sudsy out on the road and work. And that's the challenge. So the Sudsy Challenge is a challenge to wear the same clothes for 3 days and start as many conversations as you possibly can. And I believe both you, Matt and Alex, are going to wear the same clothes for 3 days, which is potentially one of the biggest stitch-ups you've ever been put under. So,
I don't believe we are aware of this, but anyways, thanks for that, Alex Dyson.
Well, in usual circumstances, it would be one of the biggest stitch-ups there, Nick, but I have been wearing my current clothes for 3 days in this Melbourne lockdown, and so my question to you is, should I wear them for another three or start a fresh pair and do three with them?
What's the technical parts of the challenge, Lucas?
Lots of warm-ups. There's four weekends over September and October that anyone can jump on board. Like Nick said, wear the same clothes for 3 days. Start a lot of conversations and also raise some funds for Sudsy and his 32 brothers and sisters around Australia that support one of the 116,000 Aussies who are doing it tough. So I appreciate Matt and Alex, you boys, jumping on board. And also want to shout out to everyone who is already signed up and all the people who are yet to sign up as well.
Yeah, if you want to get involved with both myself and Matt, you can find more information at the Sudsy Challenge. TheSudsyChallenge.com is where you need to go. And boys, as cool as it is to get, you know, shout outs from people like Barack Obama, I think some of the most rewarding things would be, yeah, meeting the people that you are helping and seeing the difference that, you know, just a small gesture like this can make in their lives. Can you give an example of someone you've met over the years who have been really helped by the work of the Orange Sky Vans?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I spoke about my mum being a hater from day one. And, you know, the great thing about my mum is that she's the most amazing person ever. And she volunteers with Orange Sky every Monday in Brizzy. And a few weeks ago, I was out on shift and there was a friend sort of talking to herself and got the courage to go over there and talk to her. And her name was Danny. And she'd put some washing in. And I sort of asked her what she was up to later that day. And she had a thick American accent. So she was a similar age to me. And she sort of said that she was going to a yoga studio and she's going to practice yoga and she gets a free shower and a meal there. And I sort of asked her how she found out about the studio. And she said that a volunteer encouraged her to do it. And the volunteer was like her mum and she gave her confidence and she really listened to her. And I was sort of proud of Orange Sky. And I said, oh, what was the volunteer's name? And Danny said, the volunteer's name was Claire. And Claire's my mum. And, you know, Danny and I could be or are completely different. We're from different countries, different backgrounds, different genders, but we'd felt the exact same thing from the exact same person, which is that unconditional love and human connection. So our mission when we started Orange Sky was to improve hygiene standards, but what we realized is that our mission was much more than washing and drying clothes. Our mission now at Orange Sky is to positively connect communities, and how we do that is through those really simple things like laundry and showers, but most importantly and most impactfully, sitting down on an orange chair. You know, every day we meet people like Danny and volunteers like my mum, and it's a reminder that there are so many people in the world that, you know, are the same by just having a conversation.
It's really awesome stuff. I'm so impressed with what you guys do, and I really am hoping that you guys can keep doing it, and that is going to happen with the support of you listening. So head to thesudsychallenge.com or any chance you see where you see Orange Sky Australia, please support the hard work that Nick and Lucas are doing right around Australia and in New Zealand. Guys, It's been an absolute pleasure. We will definitely be a part of the Sudsy Challenge come September, October, and we might even be able to reconnect with you very quickly to see how it's all going afterwards. So thanks so much for joining us, Nick and Lucas, and all the best. We'll catch you around one of the Orange Sky vans in another time soon.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, fellas, for having us.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us on Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast. Hope you enjoyed the show. Massive shout out to all the guests that we had on today's show. Nick and Lucas from Orange Sky Australia. Jeez, I just love what they're doing.
It's just such a good idea and they've done it so well. Really appreciate them joining us. Looking forward to a little bit of a Matt and Alex challenge later in the year when it comes to their own Sudsy challenge. So make sure you check that out. As well as, as we mentioned with Anthony Salamain, the Red Cross in Lebanon, a massive task ahead of them. Sending all our best wishes to anyone with friends and family there, or if you are indeed there yourself. Hope things are picking up as soon as possible. What a crazy situation.
Yeah, thank you to everyone who we chatted to on today's show as well with their Xpeno hobbies. Please get in touch if you can connect with that at matt.n.alex on Instagram or check out our Discord.
And make sure you're listening to tomorrow's show because we've got a huge, huge guest.
Love it.
Yeah, feel it, Matt. Feel it.
Dave from Glass Animals will be joining us on the show. Absolutely cannot wait to hear from him about their brand new album, which is dropping in just, I think tomorrow.
Yeah, such a nice dude and such an interesting artist as well, the way he creates his tunes, the way he forms his lyrics. Should be an excellent chat on a Friday show, so make sure you're joining us for that one. And until then, we'll catch you next time.
That's it. The all-day breakfast kitchen is closed. Got a story we need to hear? All the links are at mattandalex.com.au.